Welcome back to another episode of the Jasmine Star Show. I am very honored to be spending time with you today while you wash your hair, wash your car, wash your dog. Okay, wash whatever, wash the crevices. Clearly, I'm obsessed with getting clean because life with a one-year-old means that it is a bit messy right now. I am not even going to lie. So for those of you who are cleaning, I see you, I honor you. In fact, if you're cleaning, you're cooking, or you're in the kitchen or something like that, take a picture and tag me on Instagram. I need to be inspired by you because what I am currently doing right now is I'm sitting in the mess of my closet. And I'm going to walk out of this room and see the mess of Luna's breakfast, still remnants on the dining room table. So you inspire me with your cleanliness. Okay, I'm obsessed with getting clean right now, but I'm more obsessed with connecting with you. And I'm really happy you're here. So today's episode is from an interview I had with Mark Savant on his podcast, After Hours Entrepreneur. In this interview, Mark and I discuss how to come up with a clear call to action that your audience will actually engage with, the top three ways I recommend communicating with your audience, how entrepreneurs can rebrand as our business continuously evolves. We talk about a lot more. He was a really great interviewer. We had a lot of fun, and there's like a lot of tactical tips that I know that you can apply to your business, marketing, and your branding, like today. I know you're going to love this conversation. So without further ado, here it is, my interview with Mark.
Social media expert, podcaster, founder of socialcurator.com, Jasmine Starr, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Jasmine, it's a pleasure to have you here. I've been watching you from afar, just creating this spectacular content, helping other people create spectacular content. I'd like to back it up to dropping out of law school, don't know what you're going to do next. You pick up a camera for the first time. I've heard entrepreneurship described as building a parachute after you've jumped out of the plane. Would you say that was similar to your experience?
Yes, it's 100%. But I think it's like trying to build a parachute jumping out of the plane with one arm. That's how I feel my journey was. And I think a lot of people identify with that. But yes, it's 100% accurate.
So tell me, how did you go about landing your first client? How did you go about making this camera thing work? Photography is difficult. It's tough. It's very competitive. How'd you make it work?
Well, it's the same way I made it work with photography. It was the same way I made it work with consulting. It was the same way that I made it work when it came to creating digital courses. And it's the same way that it works now as being a founder, a social curator, and that is with content. And I know that sounds like the really easy answer, but what is often perceived as easy is one of the most difficult disciplines because you have to show up consistently to see any efforts from your hard work.
Yeah, I completely agree. And something I think it's underrated. A lot of people nowadays are talking about get rich quick, how to accelerate your growth. I tell you, just about everyone I talk to when they talk about podcast growth, they're talking about how can I run ads to get more listeners in then. But to me, it's more of a long game, and something you've done really brilliantly with your podcast, Jasmine, which, by the way, has over 1,600 five-star reviews on iTunes. It has over 1,000 comments.
I'm not one for numbers, but it's now 1.7, you know? So we gotta watch it. We're watching those numbers, but yes.
And it's tremendous. A huge, huge accomplishment. And one of the things I've noticed that you do with your show is you give us a lot of Jasmine. You get a lot of Jasmine with the episode. And I've heard this said as well, that people will come for a guest, but they'll stay for the host. How important do you think it is for podcasters who are looking for that success to insert their own personality into their show? How important is that?
Well, it's wildly important, specifically as podcasts grow. So the thing that I was always trepidatious in starting a podcast, and because I felt like there are so many podcasts that already exist, and specifically the way that the podcasting landscape looked was that whenever somebody dropped a book, they would set out like their podcasting tour. And so the same person you would see would be on a litany of podcasts and everybody's asking very similar questions. And I felt like it was powerful and very interesting, but also rather rote and not all that engaging. So if we looked at what was working for some people, I knew that coming into the game much later to that and be like, yet stop 187 on a podcast tour, it just didn't set me apart. And so I would rather grow much smaller with a tiny group of people who are invested in the host to show up as his or her place of power and then bring in and sprinkle in guests to kind of jazz it up. But I 100% believe that the same reason why people understand they're not just buying a cake, they're buying it from a baker, and they're not just buying photos, they're buying a piece of the photographer, and they're not just buying a course, they're buying a piece of the course creator. I believe the same thing when it comes to podcasting. It's like podcasts are one in a million, one in like 10 million, if we're going to be very serious. But the thing that sticks out is the people who own their story, stand in their purpose, and bring their followers and their listeners along for the journey. And I believe that's best of views and personality.
Well, I definitely agree with you on bringing your listeners along for the journey. I find that most excellent podcasters are doing that. But one of the difficult things about podcasting is it can sometimes be very difficult to get that back and forth communication with your audience, right? A lot of times with podcasting, it feels like you're speaking to your audience, but not hearing from them. What are some ways that we can actually engage with our audience and get that direct feedback from them? Jasmine, what are you doing?
Well, you know, the podcast is built that way. It doesn't feel that way. No, Mark, it is that way. Podcasts are unidirectional. Now, there are great people just like you who make it feel like a conversation and make it feel like people, listeners, are eavesdropping in on a conversation between two people. But I don't believe that conversations are existing on podcasts. I believe that the conversations are existing outside of the podcast, but the podcast is a conduit of trust and reliability. If then that becomes the case, our call to action, our CTA, which listeners will hear again and again, is we want somebody to do one thing. We want people to take one action at the end of every single podcast. So at the end of every single show, you will hear me ask somebody to send me a DM. Sometimes inside of the podcast, like, I'll bake code words. Like, I had an episode, strangely enough, I didn't actually think it was going to do all that well, but it was like the top three things you should be doing in 2021 to market your business. And I baked in there somewhere on like the 3/4 mark, a code word. And I was like, if you made it to this point in this podcast, send me this code word on Instagram. And it's so funny that this podcast dropped in January, months ago. And then all of a sudden I'm still getting the code word, which has actually been an unexpected benefit of understanding the long tail of a good podcast episode, that people can still be listening months after the fact, sending in the code word. So when somebody sends in a code word, it appears as a DM. If I would have said, hey, send me a DM, some people would probably not do it because they're like, what do I say? When you have a silly code word, and I'm not going to share the code word because I want people to listen. And only the legit listeners will know the code words. Oftentimes I'll make references to like Beyonce. I was like, if you love Beyonce, send me a Beyonce gif. And all of a sudden, one morning, I totally forgot that I had that as a CTA, and I had all these Beyonce gifts, and I was like, my day is made. Like, the queen herself is showing up on Instagram. But the thing was, it's not just that point of connection. It's the fact that I will respond. Now, the minute that they went from podcast listener to casual, I might send her a gift, to I show up and send somebody a message, they're like, oh, snap. We just got real deep in a matter of seconds. Very often on podcasts, you'll have the CTA is to sign up for a free resource, because then what happens? They get an immediate email, and then every single week I'm dropping in their inbox with a little bit of a love bomb. Not a sales pitch, not a funnel. It's what are you doing to take action? That is how we're building trust and building those communications, two-way communication.
So I really like this idea of the Easter egg, putting a little Easter egg in your episode. It's actually not something I've heard before. I implement it a little bit in my business. Typically,
let's do it now, Mark. People who are listening, they need to DM us. What is it? Come on.
Secret agent. How about secret agent? How about that? You've got me in this kind of like CIA type of vibe going on here. DM me secret agent on Instagram. DM Jasmine as well. And we're going to know where it's from. You're listening to the After Hours Entrepreneur.
Okay, wait. But you know, this is a small tweak. Because what happens if it's too hard when you say DM me, like, I'm lazy. If I heard you and I listen to my podcast mostly in two ways. I listen to them while I'm working out, and I listen to them while I'm getting ready for the day. I'm really not pausing my deadlifts to be like, let me search for entrepreneurs after us. So I'm like, DM me at Jasmine Star. Remember, at Jasmine Star, I want to see those Beyonce gifts. So let's try it again, Mark, with a clear code word, and then follow it up with your Instagram.
Okay, so this is a lot. I love this, by the way. I'm all about action, so this is absolutely perfect for the show. So DM at Mark Savant, secret agent.
There you go, son. There you go.
It's two words, but, you know, DM me at Mark Savant, secret agent. I got something special for you.
I love this. Okay, sorry. I totally derailed the conversation. Let's get it back.
Well, no. And so what you just did there, I think is really important. It's not just hearing, listening, but having this back and forth understanding. And one of the things, I'm just kind of moving around real quickly here. One of the things that I am absolutely loving right now is Clubhouse, because Clubhouse gives you this kind of natural ability to communicate and get these quick wins. How important is Clubhouse for you in your brand building here in 2021?
I'm obsessed with it. I'm absolutely, truly obsessed. Like, to me, it's like, it's supplanted some of my podcasting listening time, because I'm forced to prioritize Clubhouse because I know it doesn't sit in perpetuity. So if I happen to be making dinner and I'm listening to a podcast and I get a notification that somebody I follow on Clubhouse is on, like, I will pause the podcast podcast and go over to Clubhouse. Why? That moment of disappearing is what's forcing me to prioritize what I'm listening to, which I think is super, super captivating. It's absolutely powerful. And, you know, now that they have the monetization feature, which is so different than podcasting, is like Clubhouse is building monetization within the app so people can see clear effects of what it is versus podcasting, where it's like, I need a marketing structure and who's going to do my ad spend and do I read the ads? Do I hire the ads? Do I control the ads? It's like all of a sudden Clubhouse just said, skirt, we out here changing the game. I think it's very, very, very smart.
Yeah, it's very exciting. The whole monetization thing is really cool too as they roll that out. I'm seeing a lot of different ways that you can develop this kind of like super chat type of structure or pay to get into an event with an expert like Jasmine Starr here.
Oh, but Mark, you see this on, I'm sorry. See, this is conversation. When you have a conversation with a Puerto Rican wearing big hoops, we're going to go all over the place, but we're going to tie it up with a big clean bow. It's like you see it happening on TikTok, right? So people are going live and then you could pay the content creator as they're making content. I think that paying for accessibility for somebody on Clubhouse is going to be next level. I believe that people who are creating great, helpful content and somebody just wants to be like, you know what? This like empowered me. At least 50% of the people I follow on Clubhouse or the clubs that I'm a part of, if somebody was just like, kick me down with $5 if you learned anything today, I would probably be paying minimum $20 a day. And I would think, like, I have listened to mind-blowing conversations with Silicon Valley founders in a room of 34 people, and I'm looking around being like, huh? Does anybody not know what's going on right now? Like Harvard education, what? These people are dealing to you straight. They're talking how they built multi-billion dollar industries and companies and cultures and foundations and teams. And I'm not going to kick you down with the Benjamin for that. Come on, Thomas Jefferson. I'll kick you down with $5. And I would think I walked away the winner. So to me, it's low hanging fruit for people who are there to create value.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Clubhouse is bananas. I talked to a guy the other day who got a job with Mr. Beast because Mr. Beast was hosting a room. There were only 5 or 6 people in there. I mean, this type of stuff is not happening anywhere else.
Exactly, exactly.
So here, I guess, is the question, Jasmine. Clubhouse, is it a competitor or is it an evolution to the way that we monetize our podcasts and our brands?
It's both.
So do you think that we should be recording, finding different ways to integrate our podcast into our Clubhouse and vice versa? What are some ways we can leverage this tool?
I'm absolutely obsessed with repurposing content. I firmly believe that the people who win are the people who work smarter, not harder. I think repurposing is foundational to what it is that we do. But we also have to understand that contextualized conversations are going to be the biggest marker. Have I recorded a few of my Clubhouse sessions to repurpose on my podcast? Yes, I'm testing the waters. Do I do it with regularity? Well, no, because I'm popping in Clubhouse 3 or 4 times a week. And so I want to make sure that I can sprinkle the Clubhouse conversations in, but really the podcast is its own thing. People want higher quality audio. People want a beginning, middle, and end. People want to know that what they're coming into has been well thought out. I mean, I have had people, you know, email and say, Jasmine, I really don't appreciate that you repurpose podcasts where you were a guest on your own podcast. And number one, I do know that there are podcasts that create for the art of it, and it's like beautiful, high quality audio, and everything's perfect, and I clap it up. But I know that I am not creating just for the art. I'm creating for creation's sake, for iteration, for ideology, for the art, and to sharpen my dang teeth. Because I am putting out 2 or 3 podcast episodes a week. I do not have the time or the wherewithal or the latitude to create at that level. I am choosing to create at that level, but the only way I can do it is by working smarter, not harder. If it is not for people, I'm going to refund them what they paid to listen to the podcast, which was nothing. This ain't your podcast. Do you know where the digital door is?
That's one of the cool things about podcasting. It's completely free. You have complete control over it. You're not being controlled by your boss, your supervisor, whomever. You can create all the content that you want to. And one of the things that I've really been having success with in Clubhouse, I just want to share a little integration. Maybe you can help me take it to the next level, is in these Clubhouse rooms, we're getting so much great information. That's how we met, was through a Clubhouse room. We were moderating the Clubhouse room, right? So I'm getting all these nuggets of just absolute wisdom from people like yourself, Jasmine here. And I'm repurposing that in a way where you get a weekly newsletter and an actual podcast episode where I'm just highlighting the top takeaways, right? It's like 15 minutes. You don't have to spend 3, 4, 5 hours in Clubhouse. And I've definitely been seeing a spike, but this whole Easter egg idea gets me thinking. I wonder if you have any other ways that I can leverage Clubhouse to drive more earballs and eye holes to my podcast. Any thoughts?
People are extraordinarily judicious with how they are signing up for things. Like having an opt-in or a freebie is not new whatsoever. But the thing that I've noticed that over time, people are like, I'm just not sure if I want another free thing. Everybody's giving away free things. Like, what am I going to do with another free thing? So the thing that I've noticed is specifically where I try to create a free resource, a new free resource every single month based on demand. But I also have them tied to very easy to remember for myself URLs so that in the process of me coaching or talking, I do Q&As on Clubhouse. And so I want to make sure that I could do a follow-up, not just for the person I'm speaking to, but for the people in the audience. So for instance, people are like, Jasmine, I really want to get on Clubhouse and I don't know how. So this is a question that I was asked. And so then I will go through, give my advice. And I'm like, jasminestar.com/Clubhouse 101. Jasmine, another question comes on. I don't know how to build a personal brand. So I give my answer. I'm like, but you know what? I want you to have worksheets with it. JasmineStar.com/branding. Jasmine, I want to know. So all of a sudden, I have a litany of around 10 to 15 off the top of my head that will drive the email list. So the person who is getting the coaching may or not sign up for it, but the hundreds of people who are listening will be like, that's what I need. And so the thing that I have found is that people will either, while they're listening to Clubhouse, go to the opt-in, or they will send me a DM on Instagram, be like, hey, you mentioned it, but I don't know what it was. I'll take it however it comes.
So this is actually a really smart idea, Jasmine. I'm really glad we're having this conversation. So just to kind of recap this here, you're crafting multiple offers and kind of creating like an offer library of free offers, right? Free
Correct.
Lead magnets, right?
Correct.
So you could create or craft lead magnets specifically designed to different audiences. If you're in a LinkedIn room, maybe you have an offer for them. If you're in a podcast room and you kind of craft these specific offerings that you know are going to resonate with the audience, and you're putting this all on your website with an automated kind of like intake using an email collection form. Am I correct?
Correct.
Ooh, this is good. This is good. This is why we listen to the After Hours Entrepreneur, ladies and gentlemen, because you're getting top-notch tips from experts like Jasmine, founder of socialcurator.com. I'd love to talk a little bit about socialcurator.com and how you've kind of incorporated that in with your family life, Jasmine. I'm an After Hours entrepreneur. I've got a wife, two kids. I know a lot of the After Hours entrepreneurs that listen also building families, right? Really tough to build a business and a family at the same time. How do you manage that work-life balance? I know this is a super broad question, but especially now that I'm working at home, my kids are coming in, they're in, they're out. How do you manage that? Do you incorporate your kids and family into your business? How can we actually make this happen?
Every day looks a little bit different. So at the time of this recording, I have been in meetings since 7:45 Pacific Standard Time. I wake up every single day at 4:30. I don't advocate for it. I don't think it's the millionaire maker's hour, not remotely. I sleep around 6 to 7 hours a night. It's just what time my body wakes up naturally. So in the morning, I get all of my stuff done that is self-driven tasks that are dependent on me as founder and CEO. And then I work out. Every single day is the same, Mark. Like, I work out from 6 to 7:15. I wake up the baby, I feed her breakfast, and then I start my day with the team. Now, what happens on the team days? Like today, it's very linear for me. I talked to my husband and I said, I'm going to need help. So he said, I'm going to be here during these hours with the baby. We'll bring in a babysitter for these 3 hours because you have podcasts, you have meetings. So what I try to do is batch my days so that I can focus 100% on work and understand that I can have lunch and breakfast and take the baby out on a walk. But other than that, it is 100% I'm in work. Now, yesterday was a slightly different day. It wasn't a content batching day. It wasn't a podcast day. So I was able to have a long lunch with her. We had dance parties. She's teething, so I soothed her. That was a very different scope. But if my daughter was in that same kind of funky place as she was yesterday, I have to turn my brain off and say, in this moment, I am a working mom. I am not a mom who is working. And that different mindset has to empower me to like be one person some days and be another person another day.
This is very reminiscent of what I heard from Evan Carmichael coming on the show. It's theming out your days, right? So you can put your mindset in the specific kind of theme for the day. If you know it's a public facing day, you're going to wake up with a different mentality than, okay, this is a family vacation style day.
Yep.
You know, really, really good stuff. I got to ask you here, coffee or water? What's the first thing you drink in the morning, Jasmine?
Oh, water. I do 1.5 and I'm a coffee lover, but it's 1.5 liters of water prior to my coffee. So, you know, I'm out here guzzling like a camel. I'm like, I'm going to drink all my water to get my goods. But yes, water always water. In fact, I got some sparkling water. Here we go. Cheers. Cheers.
Hey, cheers. This is not beer in my red Solo cup, by the way.
Oh, come on. That's classy, red Solo cup.
Yeah, you know, got to throw it back. Listen, this has been awesome. I need to get into some overrated, underrated here with you, Jasmine.
Okay.
Been seeing Gary Vee do it. I said, if there's one person to take us to the next level, it's Jasmine.
Ah! I'm nervous. I'm ready. I'm so ready.
Let's go. Let's make it happen. Okay. Jasmine Starr, overrated, underrated. Spice Girls.
Overrated.
Overrated, underrated. DSLR cameras.
Overrated. And I say this as a person who has multiple cameras. What has happened on cell phones and phones is that they have become such high quality that they rival. I will have a mix of content on my social feeds, but I do not believe that you need a DSLR to have any sort of social success.
Well said. Well said. Overrated, underrated. Clubhouse.
Wildly underrated. I don't think that, well, and I think it's still, at the time of this recording, it's still in its beta and Android users don't have access. So wildly underrated. There's still a massive market and opportunity for growth.
How important do you think it is that we're building clubs on Clubhouse right now?
I can't tell. It's too early to tell. Like you, I mean, it's the people who have the personal brands and have the followings. Like I do see a lot of people pointing to clubs. I can't tell if it's like, you know, the idea of Facebook groups. Facebook groups are effective, but again, the owner of the Facebook group is what determines how effective it is. So across the board, I can't tell quite yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of split on this because I know that I can host rooms into my own club, the After Hours Entrepreneurs. I'm just not going to get as much volume, as much reach, as much traffic.
Correct.
Whereas if I'm hosting a room under Club Pod, for example, they've got like 50,000 members. So this is something I kind of struggle with. Should I be helping build someone else's community or building my own community? How important is the reach now versus later, you know?
I think it's both. I think it's both. I mean, yeah, I always believe it's like you do as much as you can, however you can.
Yeah. Well said. Okay. Overrated, underrated. Weekly date night.
Oh, wildly underrated. Wildly. Like, you know, Friday night is our date night. And it has been, I married my high school sweetheart. And throughout college and throughout law school, and even like when we first got married, we didn't have any money. Like my husband's with a startup company. I had just dropped out of law school. I didn't have money. I was working part-time. We truly had no money. And we were living in the ripest area. And we had one car with like an oxidized hood. But like date night was still, we're going to go get that, you know, that $1 Chinese combo meal. It's like each side is a dollar. And so they would pile it up. And so for $5, we ate, or we'd go to Taco Bell and we would get tacos and burritos. But here's the trick, Mark, is that in our apartment, we lived, like this apartment was built like in the 1930s, Los Angeles area. We would climb up. It was a duplex. We would climb up the stairs and it had a tiny fireplace. When you eat $5 combo Chinese meal or a $5 like taco platter from Taco Bell in front of a fireplace, you live in your day life right there. So yes, all it's so wildly underrated. Date night prior.
Love it. Love it. And it's those simple things. It doesn't take a lot of money to create a memory. You're going to carry that for the rest of your life.
That's right.
Love it. So overrated, underrated, Rodecaster Pro.
Rodecaster Pro. Is that a mic?
The Rodecaster Pro is an audio interface. It's kind of becoming the go-to for recording on Clubhouse.
Listen, Mark, listen. There are people out here using terms like, oh, an Easter egg and this road bubble beep beep. Listen. When you're good, you can show up with a box of rocks and win the game. But you don't need any of the fancy stuff to win. Friends, you start caring more about your mic than your content, you already lost the dang game. So wildly overrated. I didn't even know what it was, but now I want it. But I'm not going to get it because I'm going to still show up on my phone. Going to do the dang thing.
Preach. This leads me into another actually question I wanted to ask you, Jasmine. I'm 100% on board with you. Just start creating, right? Done is better than perfect.
Yes.
But what inevitably is going to happen is you're going to reach a point where you're like, okay, based on my knowledge of my skill set, based on knowledge of my target audience, my avatar, what have you, based on the platform where I'm resonating the most, I need to rebrand. How, you know, what's your top tip for someone that says, okay, I need to recraft or rebrand my message now that I've improved and I've learned more about myself and my business? How can we rebrand effectively?
Okay, so Seth Godin defines a brand as a series or set of expectations and memories that, taken together, account for a consumer's decision to choose one product over another. One service over another. So if we know that that's it, like the hood answer, the basic version is a brand is how you make somebody feel. So when we talk about rebranding, first and foremost, it doesn't start with, oh, what is my bio about? Am I using first person or second person? And you know what? Black is really not in anymore. I'm going to go for yellow. It's my power color. I don't give a rip. None of that matters until you quantify what is it do you want somebody to feel? Do you want them to feel empowered, educated, entertained? Focus on that. Focus on how you want them to make somebody feel. And then show up every single day with the intention to make somebody feel that. Then they start telling, they become mirrors for you saying, I didn't know that I could do X. You made me feel Y. I'm inspired to do Z, whatever the case may be. Then all of a sudden, you now know how to shape. I empower people to do X and feel Y. And do Z, your followers become mirrors, and that becomes the most effective way to build your brand.
Focus on how you make people feel, not your bio and your logo. That is really powerful, Jasmine. That is really good. I'm going to think I might have to put that on a shirt. Somewhere.
I'll take a 10% commission right at the top. Okay.
There we go.
I'm a businesswoman.
Hey, I'm all with you there, baby. I'm all with you there. Let's work. Let's improve. Let's make better lives. Awesome. Cool. So before I let you go, I got a couple more overrated, underrated, because this is going just as good as I could have hoped for. Overrated, underrated. Traveling to meet people for interviews.
I'm wildly overrated. Wildly. And nothing proved that to us more than in 2020. I do think that there is the power, and it's beautiful when the opportunity comes, but it definitely does not hinge. Definitely does not hinge. In fact, I feel like I know more about people watching them in their space with their lighting or their kids or the piano being practiced or the dog barking or somebody knocking on the door or the camera that falls over. I learn more about people that way than a perfectly coiffed three-piece suit at some sort of conference where people's breath don't stink and everything's all put out together. I learn more about people in their native spot and in their hood than anything else. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the world has shifted so that we become less concerned about like the lure and the facade and more concerned about who you are and the value that you present in the world.
Very well said. Very well said. Love that. Great answer. Okay. Awesome. Overrated, underrated, chocolate.
Underrated. Like if you just want me to have a great day, like it's just chocolate. So I've been trying, I'm on this like kick, right? So after 2020, I don't know, it was like the COVID 20 pounds, right? And I'm just like, I gotta get my life correct. I gotta shift things. And so I decided I was gonna start eating better. And then last night I tried to be on the down low and I was fretting in front of my computer while my husband was putting the baby down, and he comes over and he finds a little tiny piece of Reese's Pieces foil from a Reese's Pieces peanut butter cup. And he's like, oh, huh, what's this? And I was like, you need to leave me alone, okay? I need a chocolate today. I need a chocolate.
It sounds like you and me, we've kind of have reverse situations here. It's my wife going around finding little Reese's aluminum wrappers, especially right after Easter. I love those Reese's eggs.
Come on.
So listen, this has been awesome, Jasmine. I cannot wait to share this with all the After Hours entrepreneurs out there. Definitely check out Jasmine on socialcurator.com or at Jasmine Star Secret Agent. Message your secret agent.
Okay, yeah, exactly. You're going to DM Mark and you're going to DM me at Jasmine Star Secret Agent. There it is. That's how you know. That's how you know you roll deep.
Yes, indeed. And before I let you go, I have one final question here for you, Jasmine. If you had 10 seconds with yourself 10 years ago, what would you tell Jasmine?
It'll be okay and it'll be better than you think.
Jasmine said it. I agree with it. Jasmine Star, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a blessing. I appreciate you.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Jasmine Star Show, you are going to love the contest I'm hosting this week. Yes, just a contest. Who doesn't love free prizes? Because guess what? Enrollment for Social Curator is currently closed. No, you cannot join Social Curator right now. But the team and I are giving away one of three Social Curator annual subscriptions. Come on, y'all. We want you to be a user and lover of all things Social Curator. To enter, simply leave a review on Apple Podcast. You can screenshot your review and then go to jasminestar.com/review contest. The link is in the show notes. So there you can enter the contest for free. And we're going to be choosing three lucky winners at random for an annual membership to Social Curator. Y'all, that is a $499 value. I also happen to think it's priceless, but it includes group coaching and accountability calls and templates and all the resources that you need to market and brand your business. Y'all, it is a digital marketing agency in your pocket. Y'all, come on. This is what you want to be for the next year. You can win this contest by leaving a review and going to jasminestar.com/review contest. Now, here's a note. Submissions close this Friday, May 14th. Good luck, or as my dad always says, buena suerte.